Hey everyone, this is Belinda Carr. Welcome back to the Boost AC podcast, where we dive into the world of construction and explore the stories of people and companies who are shaping the future of our industry. We've got yet another exciting podcast for you today. I'm speaking with Chris Magwood, Manager of Carbon Free Buildings at RMI. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
So I'm sure a couple of people who are watching this podcast saw our first podcast about a year or so ago. You have an incredible amount of knowledge on sustainable building materials and sustainable building practices. Your background, you have a lot of advice and books on alternative building materials like straw bale and hemp, hempcrete construction and hemp wool. And I think that's what we touched upon on our first podcast. But you've kind of moved on into this low and zero carbon building practices. And like I said, you've written a lot of books in your career, the most recent one being Build Beyond Zero. And I can see it behind you over there. It has such incredible down-to-earth information about how all of us can just learn to build better. So there is so much we can talk about, so much, because like I said, you're a wealth of information in this area. But today we're going to be focusing on something very specific. It's the Home Builder Scan Program. It's a very exciting new program that you have been working on at RMI for the last 2 years. So tell us a little bit about this program.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, it's called Home Builders CAN, and the CAN stands for Carbon Action Network. So it's a group that's focused on trying to build a community of practice among home builders, everything from, you know, very small build, you know, a couple houses a year to very large building, you know, tens of thousands of houses a year. Trying to bring us all together so that we can all get up to speed and learn what we need to know about embodied carbon and the carbon footprint of our buildings, all at the same time. You know, it's one of those topics that it's really important, but it's also, you know, that the things that we need to know are kind of the same for everybody. And it's not in this particular area, there's not really anything that is going to be a great sales advantage to anybody, or, you know, it's non-competitive. You know, it's the kind of thing that we can easily learn and share and trade best practices without, you know, worrying about competition or anything like that. So we just really want to get as many home builders up to speed with understanding what embodied carbon is, like learning how to measure it, learning how to benchmark it, and then learning how to plan your way to reductions.
So when you came up with this idea of Home Builder Scan, what drove you to that particular program? Did you get some sort of feedback from home builders? Like, were you receiving a lot of questions about like life cycle analysis and what is carbon in a building? What does it mean? How can I sell this to my clients or to my to the people that I'm building these homes for? Was the Home Builder Scan program a result of the feedback you were receiving from builders?
Yeah. So in my previous role at Builders for Climate Action, we had developed the BEAM tool. We had done some studies for the Canadian government, for a bunch of cities. And then we were being approached by, you know, home builders and developers. Can you use the tool to show us where we're at and help us figure this out? And that's sort of when I sort of realized that across North America, most homes are built more or less the same way, you know, like there's not a huge variation, and that literally like the results that we were developing one at a time for all these different home builders and developers, the results were kind of the same. The advice we were giving was kind of the same. The pathways that they were figuring out, you know, how to start addressing it, what was the low hanging fruit, was the same. And so to me, it was like, well,
instead of doing this over and over again,
we can keep doing this, you know, one builder at a time, or we can say, hey, like, why don't we all come to the same room at the same time, and we all have the same things to learn. We're going to get a lot of the same lessons out of it. You need to understand the same tools and the same ideas. So like, let's kind of do this as a community rather than one builder at a time.
And I'm all for learning how to build better, and the education aspect of it that you are providing is truly invaluable. But what is the financial incentive to home builders to embrace this program, to learn more from it?
Well, I think it varies. It's not always a financial incentive, but when it comes to financial incentives, I sort of see two different ends of the spectrum. One is the sort of progressive home builder who's already, you know, got a clientele that's interested in energy efficient homes, interested in healthy homes, and now, like, you can add climate responsible homes to that. At the other end of the spectrum, a lot of the large, especially publicly traded home builders, their investors are saying, hey, we need you to declare your scope 3, you know, climate emissions. We need to sort of understand what climate risks we're taking when we invest in you. What's the carbon footprint of your house? And so from both ends of the spectrum, like, that's a very different financial incentive. And then I think on everybody's mind is the fact that that regulation on this topic is coming,
yes,
faster than anybody might have imagined. You know, that the US government just said we want 90% reduction in embodied carbons in new building by 2050. That's a steep order. The Canadian government's committed to having embodied carbon in the codes here by 2030. Cities, you know, are starting to already ask for these sorts of things. And so, you know, that everybody can kind of see this is coming. And so
can't ignore it anymore.
Exactly. Learning about it ahead of the curve is probably better than having to catch up, you know, later on.
Yeah.
And one of the sort of collective activities that I think home builders can really provide is, like, let's, as a group of home builders, be able to inform those regulators, like, this is how we do this. You know, these are the kinds of programs that we could respond to easily. This is the, you know, these are the kinds of benchmarks we're seeing, you know, like, being able to take the information to the regulators instead of the regulators, like, bringing it to the home builders. And I think if, you know, this, the group at home builders can, you know, we'll sort of be ahead of that curve and hopefully be able to be the ones informing regulation or sort of be at the table and, you know, have a place to sort of work from before regulations.
Then it's not like regulations are enforced on them. Then they feel some sort of sense of pride that, hey, I was part of this. I want.
Yeah. And we've been able to tell people, like, this is, you know, tell the regulators, like, what is achievable? There's no point in setting a target that nobody can meet, but there's also no point in setting a target that's ridiculously easy to meet, you know? And if we've done the work to sort of benchmark our homes and stuff, all of that becomes a lot clearer. And, you know, if we already understand, like, here's the next 8 years of the kinds of things we can work on to reduce by, you know, 20, whatever, we think we can get our homes to this level. I think it, you know, the whole thing will be a lot better if that's done kind of in conversation. And part of that is just having the builders be equipped for that conversation.
Let's dive into the specifics of Home Builder Scan. You talked about 8 different things that, I know that was just an example, but what are some aspects of this? Like, and how did you come up with it?
Well, I mean, some of the things that are on our schedule for the members this year, you know, one, it's the first event that we'll be hosting. It's next week, is just case studies, you know, getting the builders who've already done a lower carbon home, come and talk to us about it. Show us what you did, you know, give us the good things, but also give us the hard things, like what didn't work so well, what cost more, like what would you do differently next time? So we have a few different case study sort of webinars in the lineup.
So the webinar is not just to RMI, it's to the entire industry. So other home builders can listen in and learn from those case studies too.
That's right. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. You know, we have things on climate disclosure for the larger home builders, like what's coming in terms of, you know, regulations around investing and ESG reporting. Like I said, we'll have some sessions on helping to align what the home builders are thinking with regulators, you know, helping to strategize how embodied carbon will find its way into energy efficiency programs. So, you being able to talk to the folks at, you know, all the different voluntary or government-run energy efficiency programs and say, this would be a great way to put embodied carbon into your program so that we don't end up with, you know, six different approaches, you know, to that. And then we'll have, you know, sessions with innovative material producers being able to sort of say, like, here's what we've got or here's what's coming. So, you know, a pretty wide range of events.
But those are all the events that are coming up in the future. What have you all, because this this program's already public. You all published it already so far. So yeah. What are some aspects of the program itself right now?
Right now, yeah. Well, we only launched on April 3rd, so we're only been going for 2 weeks. But you know, mostly it's been that it's been working with the builders on, you know, what can we do for you? That's kind of okay. The program is here to serve that community. So, like, what are your questions? Do you know how to use the tools? No, great. We can train you how to use the tools.
What are some of the tools you're training them on?
So we have there will be a session for our members on how to use the BEAM tool.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know what that is,
that's the Building Emissions Assessment of Materials. It's from Builders for Climate Action. It's sort of the tool that focuses specifically on embodied carbon for the residential sector. So it's sort of a home builder focused tool.
Calculate the carbon footprint of your building, basically. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And it's sort of a comparative tool. So it's easy to see, look, if I, you know, made the house a little bit smaller, here's the carbon footprint reduction. Or if I change this material for that material, or if I, you know, add, you know, different things to my assemblies, this will be the result. So it's kind of like one of the main ways of being able to hone in and sort of understand, like, what parts of my building are most responsible for the carbon footprint, and then what can I do about it?
Yeah. What about life cycle analysis? Is that another tool that you're teaching home builders to use?
Yeah, well, BEAM is sort of a life cycle analysis tool. So it's one of the ways that you can sort of take results from life cycle analysis and see what it looks like applied to your building.
Okay. And what are any other tools out there that you have highlighted or you're teaching home builders to use?
Well, not so much tools, but this project is aligned with working with ResNet on an ANSI standard for how all of the tools should include embodied carbon. So I think that's a really important part of the project is, you know, we want to make sure, you know, there's room in the market for lots of different tools, but what we really want to make sure is they're all working according to the same sort of rules and principles, so that doesn't matter whether you're working with BEAM or, you know, any tool in the market. If we're all designing those tools to the standard, then we should all be getting the same answers. We're reporting the same kind of metrics. And that way, you know, everybody in the industry is really being supported and everything's comparable and transferable.
So before this ANSI standard 1550, was there no other standard way of how embodied carbon gets measured in residential buildings? Is this something your team has come up with?
There are some other standards in development. So ASHRAE has a standard sort of more focused on commercial buildings. It's in development right now. There is a standard in the UK. There are a couple other European countries that have standards, but actually no, there is no sort of North American standard. There's kind of the rules of life cycle assessment, which are not necessarily all that clear. And so right now, you can apply life cycle assessment. It varies in how you do it. And so the idea is to sort of just draw a slightly tighter boundary around it and make sure that everybody's counting the same things in the same way.
Is that has to be a challenging thing to define, because, like, on the one hand, you do not want to be prescriptive with this home builder scan program, because there are, like you said, there are so many different ways to calculate life cycle analysis or the carbon footprint of buildings, and any tool you use is going to give you slightly different numbers. So how do you come up with this overall development standards and, like you said, create some sort of tighter boundary when there is so much variability?
Well, I think what we want to do is create, we do want to have a lot of prescriptions around the standard itself, so that there we kind of try to reduce or even eliminate that variability in the results. But where there isn't really any prescriptions is what do you do with those results? So we want everybody to get the same numbers when they calculate, but you know, this home builder might address their embodied carbon by focusing on insulation materials, and this one might try to reduce concrete or use a different concrete mix. This one might address their roof and their roofing system or their flooring, you know, like it's, so we want the numbers to be accurate and everybody to get the same numbers, but then what you do with those numbers is the more like non-prescriptive part.
Because, the imaginative way, that's where people can play around and figure out their own way to build better.
Exactly. And you know, that always has, you know, some people need to do it so that it costs no more than you know, they're building. Other builders can afford to build, you know, some extra costs in. Some builders might want to combine that with like improving the indoor air quality of the home. So, you know, everybody's going to have a different agenda. So, but we do want everybody to start with the same results. And then the strategies can be anything that the builder thinks is the best way for them.
So when you and your team are coming up with Home Builder Scan, the program itself, were there certain particular hurdles that you overcame that you didn't foresee that maybe changed the direction in which the development of the program went?
Well, we had a really great sort of industry advisory group that helped us do that. So we didn't create it kind of in a vacuum. We had large builders, small builders. We had a lot of energy raters and energy rating organizations involved. So we got really good input and feedback. I think maybe the biggest change from how we first envisioned it was because I've been down this embodied carbon rabbit hole for a long time. You know, I was sort of like thinking we'd jump right to like starting to get reductions. And really everybody was like, no. Like we have to learn how to, you know, do the measurement, understand why we need to do the measurement, be able to benchmark our current buildings and our current practices, and then like plan our way to these reductions. So, you know, the industry input we got was really good in reminding me that like, oh yeah, hasn't been everybody's, thing that they've been living and breathing for a decade. You know, we kind of have to start from a little, you know, further out and higher up, and we'll work towards the sort of ambitions over time.
So this is a great segue into my next question. So the program itself is not static. Like it is going to keep evolving based on the feedback you receive. And as the entire industry gets more knowledgeable, you can start pushing it and being a little more aggressive starting to tell people, hey, okay, everyone knows what we're talking about now. Everyone knows these tools. It's time to actually implement them and reduce the carbon footprint of buildings.
Exactly. Yeah. So I really do open builds. I think the sort of collaboration of builders and energy advisors is a really great, like, you know, sort of half of our membership are builders, but the other half are the energy advisors who make the energy models and have already been working with the builders on the same kind of ideas, but from the operational energy and operational emissions side. And what we sort of see is that those two things are going to go really well hand in hand, and that those energy advisors, you know, if you're already helping a builder reduce the carbon footprint of their operations, you're very well positioned to do it on the material side too. And also making sure sometimes there's some really great win-wins where doing something to reduce your embodied carbon actually reduces your operational carbon. But sometimes, you know, reducing your operational carbon can push your embodied carbon up. And so having the energy advisors involved means that you can sort of see, like, how do these things balance with each other? What are trade-offs that are worthwhile, and what are trade-offs that, you know, maybe won't ever benefit the climate? You know, if I add 10 inches of a high embodied carbon insulation, yes, the building's more efficient, but the climate won't feel that for the next 30 years. So, like, maybe that's not the best strategy. So, you know, that energy advisors are sort of key partners already for the home builders in that way.
That's such a great point. So back in 2022, I think, I visited Switzerland with SIGA. And I'm not sure if I brought this up in the first podcast, but we visited a lot of projects in Switzerland that were high performance buildings. And they had massive, almost like a foot thick wall, foot thick walls that were filled with vapor open rock wool or stone wool insulation. And I heard a lot of people, we were traveling with a lot of building scientists and people who were in the industry, and they said exactly what you said. Sure, the operational footprint of the building might be low, but the first cost of the building and the first carbon footprint of the building right when the building opens, will you ever get returns on that? When you put that much high energy insulation into a building, is that really logical, or should we find some sort of balance over there? So that's such a great point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, then the people do tend to like sort of either or scenarios where it's like, well, if you do this, you can't do that. Or if you do that, you can't do this. I think what the energy advisors are able to sort of see in all of this is you can do both quite often, or yes, this little trade-off is worth it, but no, that one isn't. Or, you know, maybe if that was 6 inches of insulation instead of 10, you'd see the climate impact of that building being positive sooner, or, you know, those kinds of insights I think are really important.
Yeah. Has your team learned a lot of lessons from the commercial side of the industry? Because I think on the commercial side, people are talking about this a little bit more, and they have for the last 5 to 10 years or so. The home builder side may not be as knowledgeable about all these tools and the carbon footprint as the commercial side. So are there certain lessons learned that you're adapting?
I think, you know, one of the lessons learned, and it's why I think the home builders are behind, is that in the commercial world, you know, that everything is bigger. The design firms are larger, the consultant firms are larger, the clients are larger, the buildings are larger. So you've been able to, for a lot of projects, you can afford that sustainability consultant who knows how to do an LCA and kind of brings that to the team. You know, the typical home builders don't have that sustainability consultant. They don't sort of, you know, and the tools have been developed for those larger buildings and not for the smaller type buildings that home builders are doing. So I think one of the lessons we learned is, like, we need to address the home builder market in a unique way, that it can't follow the same, you know, pathway and all the lessons that the commercial world has learned. The thing that I think is exciting about the home builder world versus the commercial world is, you, in the home builder world, homes aren't bespoke buildings, you know? Like, so when a home builder decides, I'm using this lower carbon concrete, that's one change, but it's going to affect potentially tens of thousands of buildings, and it's not going to, you know, you can have a large commercial building that decides to have a really low carbon footprint, but then the next thing that architecture firm or that construction firm does doesn't
care. Completely different, yes.
The lessons don't always, like, you know,
translate to the next project.
That's right. So with the home builders, what I see is this, you know, huge thing of, like, if we reduce 20% across the board for home builders, like, that 20 is going to stick next year and the year after. And then if we can move that to 30, it's going to, you know, so it's, to me, it's really exciting that you can, you know, affect a lot of built area, and that those changes will kind of live on beyond, like, that.
That's such a great perspective on this. Have you seen, like, through all these efforts that you and your team have gone through in the last 2 years, have you seen any new products or new technology being developed as a result of this? Because you just talked about the tools and the materials and all that that exist in the commercial space that is just for the commercial space. They haven't really thought of bringing it down to a smaller scale for home builders. So have you seen tools being developed specifically for home builders because of the initiatives your team has undertaken?
No, not directly yet. I think that another interesting thing about the home building space is that it's actually an easier way for more innovative materials to make it into the market, because, you know, the chances of somebody experimenting with a new material on a 80-story, you know, skyscraper is pretty small. But, you know, just the sort of the loads, the burdens, the requirements for materials in smaller buildings are lower. So not
insurance too.
Urge people to do things that aren't safe, but you know, you don't need the world's strongest concrete to hold up a one or two story house, but you do for a skyscraper. So, you know, we've seen that a lot in the construction world, that innovations happen in smaller buildings and work their way up to larger buildings. So I think that's
one
of
the things. It's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I'm excited about, and that's another aspect to Home Builders Can, is, you know, we're going to sort of facilitate introducing the home builders to innovative materials and sort of, you know, try to be the matchmakers of, you know, here's what's new and interesting, and, you know, and here's a market where you could really start putting that material to work.
So you said the program has been open to the public for a couple of weeks now, just two weeks. So it's still very new. But what has the reception from the industry been like?
It's been great. I think, you know, in our 2 weeks, we're at 150 members already. So that's great. We've got, you know,
and that's some... Canada and the US. It's all of North America.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it doesn't, when it comes to home building, the codes and stuff in the two countries are different. And, you know, there are definitely differences, but we more or less all build the same kind of house. And so I think, and the material markets are pretty ubiquitous across the border too. So we're sort of open to members in both countries. So we've had a lot of members join. There seems to be a fair bit of, like, you know, excitement and talk about it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, as we start rolling out our events and stuff, we'll sort of grow that membership.
It's going to be an exciting year for y'all. I know y'all have had a couple of webinars already. Unfortunately, full transparency, I haven't been able to join those yet. But I am going to keep looking at your activity on LinkedIn, and I'm going to join those webinars, and I'll be sure to share it with my community as well, so everyone can learn how to build better. What are your future plans for the program? We talked so much about, like, the possibilities are endless. Like, you can, where this can go is, but it's truly exciting. But are there certain benchmarks that you're trying to hit in the next 3 years or so?
Eventually, you know, we would like all of the builders involved in Home Builders Can to sort of have done the work. For some of them, it'll, you know, take a year or two, like, just to figure out where am I now, and to start looking at a plan. But eventually, you know, the idea is everybody will have a plan. Like, you know, here's a target that we've set for ourselves on embodied carbon, and here's how we're going to, like, you know, make our way to that target. And I guess, you know, for me, I spent most of my career actually building buildings.
Yeah.
You know, one of the exciting things with Home Builders Can is, you know, I would love for us to be involved in helping builders make, like, really good sort of prototype and demonstration projects. So being able to, you know, help consult on, like, what's a really great project for you as a home builder to, maybe you can't build 10,000 of these right now, but if you build 10 of them right now, you'll learn a whole lot faster that will make it easier for you to build 10,000 of them. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to helping the builders who want to, you know, really start getting some of this stuff in the ground and sort of showing what's possible. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too, Chris. What about new books? And you've written about a dozen so far. And like we said, the latest one is Build Beyond Zero. Do you have another one coming out? Relate more catered to home builders?
Nope, nothing, nothing in the works right now. Nope.
You have to
Maybe
get
a
started
really
on
great
that.
case study book one day when a bunch of these projects have been built.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I read a book recently on, I think, Pretty Good House, and that such a great book. And that was more like a case study book and really digestible information, great pictures, real, and it would be wonderful to see RMI or your team come up with a similar book on like low carbon building.
Yeah, I really like the Pretty Good House book. You can't see it, but it's on the shelf behind me. I read it. I really like their approach,
Oh,
that sort of balance, like think about all the things and do really well on a bunch of them, and don't get hung up on like hitting necessarily the absolute metric in one area. I think that whole notion is
And
really
that's
cool.
exactly what your team has embodied, and the program is embodied too. It's very similar. It's a very similar mentality.
Yeah.
Okay, this has been wonderful. Great catching up with you, Chris. I do have to ask you one last question, and I try to ask all my guests this. What advice would you have for a young professional who's interested in reducing the carbon footprint of buildings, not just in the residential space, but maybe in the commercial space too? They've noticed that we can do so much to build better. What sort of advice would you have for them?
I think my advice would be to make sure that you learn how to use the tools that are available to do this kind of measurement. I think that's one of the things that makes it take a while for, a builder at any scale to be able to address their embodied carbon is who on the team knows how to do this. Like you actually have to train somebody to do it. So if you're able to, use the tools, understand the tools, then you're going to be bringing such a high value to anybody who is looking to hire you, because it's not, it's not something that's being taught in like the normal sort of education. Like it's not, you don't have to learn to measure embodied carbon as an architect or an engineer. Like it's on the side right now for everybody. And so if you have that, if you can, start figuring that out, you're going to be, you're going to have this skill set that's super desirable.
Speaking of, has your team, since your team has already identified that particular gap in education, have you reached out to certain universities to say, hey, maybe this is something y'all need to incorporate into your curriculum?
Not yet, but definitely like preparing educational materials that can go out to design schools, trade schools. That's definitely something that we'll have on our agenda. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again, Chris, for explaining Home Builders Can, the Home Builders Can program to us. And I'm looking forward to sharing all the webinars that are going to be coming up the rest of this year. If people want to learn more about the program, what's the best way? Do you have a website to direct them to?
Yeah, it's RMI/homebuilderscan. And yeah, the schedule of all our events is there, all the membership stuff, all our case studies library is there. So there's a lot of really great resources on the site already.
That's awesome, Chris. Thanks once again. We need to have you back on the podcast once the program's mode has been running for a while.
Yeah, that's great. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. So I'm glad to come back anytime.
Thanks, Chris.